This is Joy Peterson. I am interviewing for Kentucky Heritage Quilt Society, the Quilters on File program in Starkeiser's home. Star, do I have your permission to put this interview on tape?
Yes, you do.
Would you please give me your full name and spell it for the tape?
My name is Star Craig Kaiser, StarCraigKaiser.
Thank you very much. And your husband's full name?
Robert James Kaiser, RobertJamesKaiser.
Thank you very much. And would you state where we are and where in your home and where your home is?
My home is in Anchorage, Kentucky on Old Harris Creek Road. Anchorage is a suburb of Louisville. We're in the family room in my home, which is the room where I do most of my quilting.
Thank you. And what county are we in?
This is Jefferson County.
Thank you. As far as occupations, perhaps you would tell us first if you are employed.
I am not employed at this time, at least full time. I do occasionally teach some quilting classes.
Well, I think we'll get to that as we're into the interview, but as far as the biographical data, perhaps we'll stay with the idea of occupations and put at this point what's your husband's occupation is.
My husband is a physician. His specialty within medicine is ophthalmology.
Thank you. Do you have children?
Yes, we have two children. Our son is 24 years old and our daughter is 23 years old.
And their names?
Our son's name is Bob and our daughter's name is Ann Starr.
Do they live nearby?
Our daughter lives nearby, and that's a great joy to us. We haven't had either of the children in the Louisville area for a long time. Our son lives in Denver, but we look forward to seeing him. He's coming this next weekend.
Oh,
Derby
nice.
Time.
Do you have grandchildren?
No, no grandchildren.
You live here in this very lovely home, Old Harrods Creek Road. I wonder how long you've lived here.
Well, this is a family place, and I'm glad you asked because the property here has a lot of meaning to us as a family. Bob and I have lived here since 1963. The house was built originally for his grandparents when they moved from downtown Louisville area as retired people. Bob's father bought this sort of corner of Anchorage in 1941 and built the big house that's on the corner of Owl Creek Lane and Old Harris Creek Road. Consequently built the several cottages that you see behind and next to us in the greenhouse. And at one time we lived in the gardener's cottage that you see out the window here, and my sister-in-law, Bob's sister, lived in what had been the cook's cottage that's in the back here. So, and we're now the only Kaisers left. Everybody else has gone to town for one reason or another, and the various pastures and houses have been sold. I love the things that are planted here. Bob's grandfather planted a lot of them. So, you know, this is a special place for us.
How much acreage was there in the original tract that
I'm not sure. I really don't remember. There was the pasture in the back and three pastures along Owl Creek Lane, aside from the area that the big house was built on.
When you say pastures, did they have cattle? Was it a farm?
Yes, my father-in-law sort of played with a lot of things. During the war, they had turkeys, chickens, sheep, and cattle, horses. It was quite a place. They made their own butter and had a garden and candy.
What was his occupation?
He was started the Brown Kaiser Company, which was is a liquor distributorship. He's a wholesaler, or was a wholesaler. Now my brother-in-law runs the business.
Well, besides your husband and his sister, were there other children?
They had a half-brother who's older than my husband. Of the three children, my husband's the oldest, and his brother Jim, who now runs the Brown Kaiser Company, and then the sister is the youngest.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm glad you brought that out. I think that's an interesting part of history for the people in the archives that are looking things up to find out that besides the quilting, we can even tell a little bit about the beginnings of Anchorage. What year did Mr. Kaiser come out? 41?
41.
That's fascinating. It's a beautiful area.
Well, thank you.
As far as biographical data, I think that we also want to put here where you lived before you lived here.
I lived in South Louisville when we, at the time that I was married, and
when
was living at home with my mother and father teaching, actually. I graduated from the University of Louisville in 56 and taught in the Jefferson County school system in the Valley Station area for 1 year before I was married.
What school did you teach in?
I can't remember. The Wilkerson School.
I began
teaching the year that it opened as a new school.
What
it
did
was
you
built
teach?
To relieve double sessions in that area.
Yeah.
Third grade. I have two, an aunt and my mother's cousin, who I was very close to, were third grade teachers, and all my life I knew that I was planning to grow up to be a third grade teacher, and I always did love it, and as a matter of fact, still prefer that age group when I work with my classes.
So you got a BA degree from,
It's a BS degree, actually.
University of Louisville.
Yeah, which is interesting because my husband has a BA from Princeton and I have the BS.
And he's a physician. Where did you go to high school and grade school?
I graduated from DuPont Manual High School. I started at Louisville Girls High School, and after my sophomore year, the integration took place so that Little Girls High School no longer existed and we were DuPont Manual. And I had gone to junior high school in the same building, which was called Halleck Hall.
And it was called what?
Halleck Hall. And
can
then
you spell that?
H-A-L-L-E-C-K. And then I had gone to elementary school at Johnston School, which is
up Johnstontown Road?
No.
Way up Valley Station?
No, it's what is close to Preston Street, behind where St. Joseph Hospital used to be. Near Eastern Parkway.
Yeah. Where was your home in South Louisville?
On Homeview Drive, which is near Seagram's. But when I had been going to elementary school, we lived with my grandmother. And that was on East Lee Street, which is off Preston Street.
Are your parents still living?
Only my mother.
She live in Louisville?
She lives in Louisville. She sold her house and lives at Westminster Terrace, which is a very happy place and a marvelous living situation for her.
I was trying to think whether that's the one that's in Butchel or that's the one that's in Clarksdale.
Butchel.
Butchel. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's one in Clarksdale that's a retirement home connected with the Presbyterian Church.
Mm-hmm. Yes, this is also Presbyterian.
And while we're on that, would you state your religious preference, please?
I belong to the Presbyterian Church, and our membership is the Anchorage Presbyterian.
Your father, what was his occupation?
He worked for the Schaefer Varnish Company, which was eventually bought out by Guardsmen, and I think now Guardsman's been bought out by somebody even bigger, and he was in charge of the control lab there. It had been a family business. As a matter of fact, his father had owned that business before the Depression. And the Depression took that away from him, along with many other things.
You say you moved out here in 63. You mean this house or the house?
This house. We lived in the gardener's cottage after my husband graduated from medical school, and that was in Chicago. We lived in Chicago the first 2 years. We were married.
When were you married?
In 57.
He has a medical degree then. It's not from U of L. It's from
Northwestern.
Chicago. Uh-huh. And what is your birth date?
November the 6th, 1934.
When you were in school, high school or college, were there other careers that interested you other than third grade teaching? Were you always aiming in that direction?
No, not at all.
Uh-huh.
I did work at a settlement house part-time, which I thoroughly enjoyed. But then I would consider group social work really very much the same type thing that, as being a teacher.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned two women in your life that were third grade teachers. It was your mother and your aunt?
No, my aunt and my mother and aunt's cousin, who I've been very close to. She and her husband never had children, and I did a lot of antiquing trips, and we were very close, and still are, actually.
And so she lives here?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Well, if you think of other things as we go on into discussing quilting that have to do with your, what I would call biographical data, the things we've just been discussing, I hope you'll feel free to insert them so that we'll have as complete a discussion of that as we can.
Surely.
But I think now that perhaps we'll leave that aspect of our discussion and go into quilting. Could you tell me when you learned to quilt?
Yes. I was in a beginning quilting class taught by Marion Godfrey the winter of 1981.
That recently.
So I am a recent quilter, right.
What quilts did you make when you were learning? What patterns did you use?
Well, I did a lot of things. As a matter of fact, my classmates laughed at me because every week that I came in, they expected me to back up a truck and bring out the things I had done in the past week. But actually, I did take this quilting class when I had really set aside time to give to whatever the quilting class presented to me. So, I enjoyed very much the way Marion Godfrey ran her beginning quilting class, and that she gave a lot of options open to the individual. We were not in a structured class so that there was one assignment and one pattern each week. So I did quilting patterns on some pot holders. I did some clothing, which was applique. And I decided it would be a good thing to learn how to deal with curves, so I made a drunkard's path top. I look back and think, fool Thrushy, and I didn't know enough to know I didn't know enough to make a quilt yet. But I'm glad I did. It was great fun. And I'll show you that when I, we get our,
great.
Our get into looking at our quilts.
Okay. I think that's fascinating. Who in your family quilted?
My mother made quilts, though she didn't do any other kind of sewing. But my mother always made kits. And I can remember thinking, why doesn't she do what she thinks instead of following the directions? And I think that attitude has stuck with me, and it's really a part of my attitude toward my own work. I really don't even feel it's honest to, for instance, buy a pattern and follow the directions according to color and size and how we set the pattern together and so forth. I think my work should be a statement of what I think and what I do. But my mother's applique quilts are beautiful.
They're applique.
I'm glad she did them.
They're yes. not embroidered. They're
she has a little bit of embroidery on them for embellishment, but basically they're all applique. And I'm proud of her since I've begun quilting. I've stretched her a little bit so that now she's beginning to do just quilt patterns and set them together and so forth, which she had never done before. She always felt that she couldn't make a quilt unless the directions there said use red number 2 with 3 strands, etc.
Were there any men in your family that quilted?
No.
Have you ever heard of men quilting?
Yes, as a matter of fact, Bob and I have 2 friends through our boating experience, men who are older than we are, who talked about quilting when they were young boys.
They did quilt when they were young. Have you seen any of their work?
No, I haven't.
Do you think men quilt differently from women?
I don't know. I really don't know. I recently saw a beautiful quilt made by a man who's retired, an older man. It was exquisite, and it really cried out of as being the work of somebody who approached his art entirely on his own without having been structured in any other way. That was interesting, but I'm not sure that that was necessarily because he was a man. It was just because of his life and the way he came to making that quilt.
Have there been periods in your life when you were too busy to quilt?
Well, I've just started recently. So I guess that's I couldn't even give a fair answer. If I had to give an answer, I guess I'd say I put the other things on the back burner. I make quilting an important part of my life because it's done a lot for me and I enjoy it. I want to do it.
How much time do you spend quilting?
Well, my husband says all the time. I'm not really sure. I work at some phase of my quilting every day.
Where do you quilt? Always in this family room?
Yes. Actually, in that one little spot here on the couch. This is why I've got my little high-intensity lamp here. This house is dark. Lighting is a real problem to me. But I like to work back here because my husband's back here either reading or watching TV. And quilting time is usually in the evening for me.
Do you use a sewing machine when you're quilting?
I do, some. You know, and I'm trying right now to incorporate machine work a little more than I have previously. Because in a lot of occasions I think I can achieve just as good or maybe a better effect. I don't really like to spend that much time with my sewing machine, so it's kind of a discipline to myself really to force myself to be more comfortable with machine piecing particularly.
Mm-hmm. Where do you get your quilt designs?
Well, I have a lot of quilt books, and it's fun to read them, and of course I see so many patterns and designs there, but I play with graph paper too, and have done some of my own, and I'm fascinated with putting familiar and simple patterns together in maybe an unusual way.
What are some of the patterns you enjoy making?
Well, I started that first quilt, it was with the Drunkard's Path pattern, and I put it together in the love ring manner. Since I've done...
In the what manner?
Love ring.
Love ring. I'm just not acquainted with that.
Since I've
done a miniature...
Can you
show us that and tell us about it as you do?
I'm really fascinated with Drunkard's Path because for one reason, I like curved lines. I think they're softer and more pleasing. Drunkard's Path can be a very erratic kind of design, but the love ring pattern, it is not. It's very much an ordered thing. And I might say, well, I'll show you this. When I was taking that beginning quilting class, I said to my teacher, why am I not seeing Chet Gingham? Having sewed for a little girl, made smock dresses and so forth, I really adored Chet Gingham. So we decided probably because they are at least 50% polyester, which was not as handy to deal with as a 100% cotton. So I saw a book of patterns that had a baby quilt pattern, Drunkard's Path, put together in this love ring design and made of Chet Gingham. And I fell in love with this set, but I didn't want to make it of Chet Gingham. And I have since seen this done by somebody else in Chet Gingham, and it's very blah. It doesn't have the pizzazz and the personality that I think mine does. I've used brightly colored calico.
Now, would you describe it for the tape?
Yes, I'm dealing with primary colors. So in the center of my quilt, I have a yellow calico, which comes across as a ring. Then outside that, I'm going to a green calico, then a blue, a purple, a red, an orange, and a yellow. Then the outside set to finish my rectangle are blue and white. And I really think the blue, the solid color blue, is what makes this quilt successful because it's a deep blue. It's not a baby kind of blue. And I think, you know, that intensity is important. When we look at the beautiful blue sky, to me it is an intense blue. It's not a washed out baby pale kind of blue. I thought my yellow circle in the center of the quilt had an empty look, so thus I've appliqued the orange sun kind of applique there. And I think it's a very happy quilt. I'm not ashamed of the big quilting stitches because I've signed the quilt 1981 and hopefully Star has improved since 1981. And again, I think it would be dishonest for me to do anything different with this quilt. I made it for my husband. He uses it as his bunk quilt on our boat, and I think it's appropriate for a boat. As a matter of fact, one person who looked at it called the blue and white squares part of the sea, and if she wanted to think that suits me, whatever. But this was my first effort. The blue is a cotton satin that was in the bottom of my scrap box, left over from the days that I did Anchorage Children's Theater costumes. This was to have been Alice in Wonderland one year, and Alice turned out in a gray dress, so happily I had her marvelous blue that made my quilt, I think, successful.
Let's not fold it up, and I'll get a picture of it afterwards.
Okay.
All right.
I still wish I had the rest of that blue, even though I've used it. I love that fabric so much. Mm.
It was nice to work with, and it was a polished cotton that washes well, and there's a little bit of the sheen still left in it, you know, where so many of the cotton satins lose their sheen in washing. And this did lose some, but not entirely. And I, that is some little bit of quality to it, too.
Mm-hmm.
At any rate, it's a happy quilt.
What makes a good quilt?
Well, I guess when I look at a quilt, I'll look for technical perfection in that all the corners meet and make a proper line, and that stitches are even, and that it's bound accurately and not sloppily.
Why do you make quilts?
I think it's a reaction to my love of fabric. And that's, I really think, my love of fabric is the bottom line, really, in my interest and my joy in this art. And I think of quilt making as an art.
Which do you find more satisfying, piecing or applique?
I really enjoy both. I do a lot of hand piecing, so it would seem to me, I guess that's what I enjoy the most. But I, on the other hand, it's easier to put a piece block together than it is an applique one. It takes a little more effort, I think, to come up with the pattern, template, and so forth for an applique. So I really do enjoy applique. I think it's fun. I did one of the applique blocks for the KHQS medallion quilt, and that was just a marvelous opportunity. But then somebody else had gotten the pattern together for me, so it made it easy. But I appreciated the opportunity.
That was this recent medallion quilt that they've made a book to cover the patterns.
Which
one of the appliques did you make? Can you describe it?
Yes, I did the Ohio Road, which has a flower pattern in the center, some stems and leaves and buds that extend from that. There was an interesting choice of fabrics. I thought they were just a marvelous combination of fabrics. It was fun to deal with them.
Do you ever embroider, or do you crewel or cross-stitch on a quilt?
I embroider my name and date on everything that I do, and feel frustrated when I do it because my embroidery's not better than it is. I wish I were better at that, but I guess if I were more serious about that, I would spend more time on it. You know, I guess it's just, you know, I get my quilt together and then fuss around when it's time to do that embroidery.
You always do sign your quilts and date them.
Yes, and the quilted clothing that I've done as well.
Do you enjoy most making the top or actually doing the quilting?
Well, I like all of those things. I guess I really enjoy making the top more because I have several tops around here that haven't made it any further than that. I feel pretty insecure about quilting patterns. I wish I had a better background on quilting designs and how to use interesting and good design on the quilt just as a quilting design. I feel a little shaky about that. As a matter of fact, I have postponed quilting on the quilt that I'm quilting on now because I've been scared off on exactly how to quilt.
What makes a good quilt stitch?
Well, I do. I guess what's described is the rock and roll kind of stitch. You know, I use my thimble and push the quilting needle with that and put a number of stitches on that needle before I pull it through.
And your left hand, does it have a thimble on it?
No, my poor battered left hand doesn't, though I'm beginning to think maybe I'm going to have to try some other technique because my fingers on my left hand are terribly sore.
I thought we might discuss quilting bees and quilting parties. I wonder what background you bring to such things and what your feelings are about them and what you have perhaps enjoyed about quilting with others.
Well, I think quilting with others is very important. I can't imagine any quilter being successful and happy about her work without.
This is side 2, tape 1, JDP 15, Joy Peterson interviewing Star Kaiser on April 24th, 1984. Star, you and I were discussing the idea of quilting bees and quilting parties, quilting with others, and you were starting to talk about it. An experience you have twice a month with a group. Would you continue with that discussion?
Yes. I don't think that I could function as a quilter, really, without that group. We're all people from different backgrounds, ages. We've come to quilting at different times in our lives, have different experiences. Some of us have quilted a long time, some of us not. Some of us are more serious about our work and spend more time at it than others. But we're a group of devoted friends, and we care about one another's work. I very frequently get myself to a point in my current project where I can't make any more decisions about it. I back myself into a corner mentally, artistically, and somebody else has to help me with it. I need a decision. I need somebody else to bounce off my problem. And this group is just magnificent about that. Everybody loves to get in their 2 cents worth. I wouldn't always maybe do what my group has suggested, but at least they give me a different attitude about my problem. And then, of course, some of them have such marvelous experience. They're a great help to me. Currently, one of my friends in this group has helped me with my quilting design on this quilt that I'm quilting on now. She said, you need some soft lines. And I have several templates that would fit in your last piece, and I'll bring them next time.
Do you mind telling us who that was?
Charlotte Willis, who is a real dear, a wonderful person, and a real quilt artist.
Well, I might tell you that Charlotte Willis is one of the people who has been interviewed and will be in the archives along with the Star Kaiser interview, so people can
Good.
Refer to the interview on
I'm
Charlotte
glad.
Willis. That's W-I-L-L-I-S.
Yes. Well, I'm glad because she has a lot to share.
Tell us a little more about this group, the name of it, where it meets, how it evolved.
We're called Tuesday Girls, and wasn't easy to come up with a name, but one lady's husband says to her when she leaves to go to the group, now are you going to Tuesday Girls or Thursday Girls? Now her Thursday Girls are a group of old school friends, so it just sort of fell to us because Sam calls us Tuesday Girls. That's our name. We pride ourselves in our informality. You know, we don't have a president or a secretary or a treasurer. We only organized where we're going to meet, you know, every couple of months, and everything works out beautifully.
Where do you meet?
We meet in one another's homes, and we come at 10 in the morning. The hostess has coffee or iced tea, and we bring our own sandwich, and the hostess usually has some sort of treated dessert or maybe a banana bread or something for us for lunch, and then we quilt a little while after lunch and go home about 2 or 3 in the afternoon. And we don't always all work. Sometimes somebody who doesn't have a project comes just to talk and visit. And when we have become very close friends and care about one another in general, just, you know, not even counting all the quilting.
When did it begin and how?
Right after my beginning quilting class ended, that was winter of 81. Our teacher, Marion Godfrey, realized that there were so many of us who didn't want to go off on our own and sit at home alone. We wanted the companionship of one another. And she invited us to her home. So that was sort of the beginning. And in that group of people were several of her friends and some of the students in some of her other classes. And then some other people came, moved to town, were looking for a quilter friend, and joined us. And other people in the community have joined us because we knew they were interested in quilting and wanted that much of a commitment to it.
At one time you met in the Presbyterian Church?
Yes, we did. The Anchorage Presbyterian Church. There's a nice big room, and the light is very good in the basement. But I think some of the girls felt like it was awfully cold there. And we had enough people who were willing to be hostesses in their home. And we wanted to stay a fairly small group so we could be workable and in touch with one another. So we've just decided to meet in home.
How many are there in the group?
I guess now there must be 15 to 18 of us.
But not that many in attendance every week?
No, never really. And then there are a couple of girls who don't come as much as they used to. One has started working, and another has just been busy with her family and just doesn't really feel that much of a commitment to the quilting anymore. And several people have moved away. Two of the young girls work and can only come occasionally when they have a day off or maybe a long lunch hour. But we work around all that and keep in touch with them.
Well, before we leave the idea of quilting with a group, could you tell me your concept of what a quilting bee is, or a quilting party, or are they different?
Well, when I read about quilting bees in my books, it's the quilting of a quilt, actually. And I haven't really done that. When I talk about Tuesday Girls, really, that's just a get-together of each of us working on what we individually wanted to do. However, we have recently had kind of a quilting bee experience. Pat Scovel had a quilt, an old quilt top that she had bought, and she got it all basted together and put it on a frame, and we've gotten together twice to just quilt on that for the day rather than work on our own individual projects. And that was something that clever Charlotte Wills thought of this winter. She just thought it would be fun to get together one winter day, and she would make soup and just for a change.
It was the Tuesday
that.
Girls on a Tuesday.
Yes. So we did that one day at Charlotte Willis's home, and then recently when Pat Scovel was hostess for Tuesday Girls, she set the quilt up again at her house, and we did that same thing. So it was sort of a change from our routine, but I guess maybe that was more an old-time quilting bee.
Would you want anyone to quilt on your quilt?
I don't think so. And I don't think Pat would either, unless it were one specific situation, and this on top was.
Do you belong to any other quilt groups or organizations?
The Kentucky Heritage Quilt Society is the only formal organization that I belong to.
Why do you belong to it?
Well, frankly, I originally thought that the newsletter was so marvelous when I received it that I wanted to just give the membership dues money to that organization because they sent me such a wonderful publication. So that was a pretty naive entry into my commitment to the KHQS. I've become quite involved and am now going to be on the board of directors of that group. That wasn't the way I initially approached the organization. I was feeling at the time that I'd been over-organized in my life, and I was more in a mood to back out of organizations than to get into any. But this seemed to be bigger and more important than that attitude. And I thoroughly enjoy my commitment to KHQS and look forward to a lot more work with the group. I particularly respect the leadership in that organization. I think they're really hard workers and no-nonsense people, and people who present meetings with a no-waste-of-time kind of attitude.
Have you ever attended quilt workshops, seminars, symposiums, this sort of thing?
Yes, I have. I've attended almost everything that's come to the Louisville area and been an opportunity for me, as a matter of fact, since I've become a quilter.
Could you tell us a little about some of those and what who the teachers were or what the circumstance was?
I guess the first workshop I attended was one given by Nancy Crowe, in which I was a total flop, and I'm sure probably always would be if I lived to be 100 and quilted 10 hours every day, because I'm not a Nancy Crowe kind of quilter. I don't have what she has to bring to quilting, and it would probably be a mistake for me to ever try. I think she's a marvelous artist, and I am not an artist. I'm a lover of textiles and deal with that. I respect her work. I think it's just beautiful, but I don't think that it's anything that's something I'm gonna ever do. It's just not there for me. Then I took some Jenny Beyer workshops, which I enjoyed a great deal more. Her color workshop was marvelous, I thought, because she dealt with fabric. I have a prejudice about dealing with a color wheel, which is what a lot of people do when they present a color workshop. I like to deal with fabric. That's my love, and that's what brought me into quilting. And I think transposing the color wheel to fabric is something very difficult, almost impossible, as a matter of fact. So I really enjoyed particularly Jenny Beyer's color workshop because she dealt with fabric. And I also had a day-long workshop with her, which concentrated on designing a medallion top. And that was interesting, and I guess I got something out of it, but really I've read all three of Jenny Beyer's books thoroughly, probably will again and again and again, and I felt like I didn't really get that
adding more from her workshop than I had gotten from reading the book. Except that I did decide, I guess, that I'm not sure that I really even like medallion quilts. So perhaps, you know, that was important in itself. But I enjoyed working with her. She was an interesting person. And it was fun to kind of have the feeling that I had gotten to know her a little bit. And let's see, I had a color workshop with Michael Kirk at the Museum of History and Science in Louisville last winter. And it was just 2 hours of dealing with color wheel exercises, and I really thought I got nothing at all out of it.
Is his background quilting or
textiles? No, he's an artist. He's done ceramics, I think.
He's connected with the museum or the university, or
I don't know how he was hired as teacher of this workshop. I guess just because the director of activities there knew him and thought, as an artist, he would be an appropriate person to teach this color workshop. And I'm just telling you the way I reacted to that workshop. I haven't really discussed it with other people yet. There may have been other people in that workshop who thought it was wonderful. And perhaps it's just that he and I's personalities didn't really communicate well. But I didn't enjoy that too awful much. And then, last October, I had a several-day workshop with Nancy Halpern, which was, I thought, very interesting and meaningful. I grew a lot. It was hard work. When I go to these things, my family says, did you have fun? And they don't really understand. I guess it's fun, but it certainly isn't laughing and playing. I got up at 7 every morning and was never in bed before 11, and I was working all that time. It was a real stretch for me artistically to do the things I did with Nancy Halpern. I did design and work out templates for one block that I'm really proud of. It's one of the best things I think I've done artistically. I have not finished that piece. I'm going to need a lot of quiet time and a good block of time to work with the fabrics and the templates in order to do what I really want to do with it. The dyed fabrics are working really beautifully with the block that I designed. I wanted to have something that's the look of the Paul Sawyer painting. And I think a dyed fabric can give you the feeling that a watercolor, for instance, type painting has. So hopefully inspiration will come and time and opportunity, and I'll finish that. But I'm happy with what I have done as far as that workshop's concerned, at least to this point. So you see, I really, since 81, I have done quite a few workshops. I'm beginning to think it's time to stay at home and concentrate on how I reflect on all of these classes that I've taken. I think you can overdo that, and I may be to the point of overdoing that, as a matter of fact, now. Because for one thing, I think when you have a session with somebody who has a definite type personality work, you do attempt to maybe parrot their work, whether you mean to or not. And I think that's a danger in that kind of workshop situation.
And did you not go to the Southern Quilt Symposium?
Right, that's right. My most recent workshop was just last week, you know, where I had another color workshop where we dealt again with the color wheel. But it was more meaningful to me. The woman, Jean Hoskins from Lexington, who's a professor at the University of Kentucky, taught this class. She was very well organized and presented a very good clear workshop. She had marvelous slides. And she was very thorough. I'm not sure how much it's going to mean to me in the long run. Again, I still like dealing with fabric first. However, it's she's been an influence on me. I see at the piece I'm working on today that if I had graphed that design, even just in black and white, I'd have seen the design worked before I entered that design into the family of color and fabric.
And what is this piece you're making now? Is it the Ronald McDonald?
Yes, I'm committed to a pair of wall hangings for the Ronald McDonald House. They're to be 30 by 30. And I'm working on the first of those. I've chosen six fabrics that range in the color range that the decorator's using for that house. I've decided to do one piece square and one applique square. And at this point, I'm working on the piece square.
Some people talk about Kentucky quilts. They say, I'm going to, they're from another state, and they'll say, I want to be sure and get a Kentucky quilt. What do you think they could be wanting? What is a Kentucky quilt to you?
Well, I tend to think of the old Kentucky quilts. I think that's maybe what people mean when they say that. And there were some patterns that were familiar, some used more than others. I had the one miniature quilt of Drunkard's Path put together in what I have decided is probably the most typical set. That was used a lot in early Kentucky, and I'm also working on a miniature Jacob's Ladder because I find in my reading that that pattern was used very frequently in early Kentucky quilts.
You have those in here, or is that in another room?
No, they're, well, I have some of my Jacob's Ladder in my work bag that's right here. I have the finished Drunkard's Path quilt back in my work area. It's not in this room here.
Well, we'll try to get some pictures later if you don't mind. Have you ever taught anyone else to quilt?
Well, thanks for asking. I've taught children's classes, and I guess my background as an elementary school teacher just can't go away. It wants me to share what I think is a real pleasure and joy, my quilting, with young people. And I've been very happy about it, and I think it's been a positive thing so far. Last winter, I had several classes with 9, 10, 11-year-old girls at the Museum of History and Science here in Louisville, and that was in collaboration with the Kentucky Quilt Project show. I've also worked with children as young as 5 and a half. I've done a lot of different things and approached quilting in different ways. So if people call, I never say no. It's just what kind of presentation I bring to them. I find that children react very positively toward quilting. And I also think quilting is a marvelous teaching tool and something that we shouldn't ignore. It's art. It certainly is mathematics. It's history. I've never found any group of children who weren't interested. And usually they're interested in every phase of quilting. So I look forward to more teaching, and I like to deal with younger children. I find that once a child is about 12 years old, usually they've had some needlework experience, or they're definitely not interested at all. And I like to deal with younger children where you approach quilting from ground zero. It's easier for me. But then on the other hand, you know, when I taught, I like that age group children. I guess I just have to face that I like younger children and like to work with them more than I do the older children.
Other than the Kentucky Museum of History and Science, where else and what other settings have you worked with children when quilting?
I had a children's class at American Accents, which is a local quilt shop, which was actually the first children's class I had, you know, on a professional basis. And it was very interesting, and then I had a little girl who was 5 and a half. I had a boy. I'm looking forward to having more boys in the classes. That was a 5-session class, I guess. I did an hour and a half session with a first grade Brownie troop. I've done 2 1-hour talks with second grades. And let's see, I helped a group of teachers organize a 4-session class for 3rd and 4th graders. This is something I would have taught had I been in town, but couldn't. So I helped them with the design for what they were going to do. In the second grade, with the second grade classes that I taught to, I used the teaching aid that I had helped design that was part of the Kentucky Quilt Project show, which was actually just a series of felt squares and triangles, the triangles being half size to the squares. And then there are some framed traditional quilt patterns that are made up of just those squares and those triangles. So that's a help for the children to start with the design technique. And if, for instance, I'm dealing with a group of children and we're not going to do a hands-on project, that is, not put needle in hand, for instance, the felt squares and the design idea is a good thing to work with. And I'm happy that since the museum owns that, they're sharing that with people in the community. I'm really happy to see that.
And in relation to your work with children, what is the new position that you're going to accept with the Kentucky Heritage Quilt Society?
Well, I will be responsible for youth activities throughout the state. And my thought is, I've had so much positive reaction from people in the community about my classes and workshops and sessions. I feel like we should communicate statewide concerning those kind of activities. I'm wondering if other people in other parts of the state are doing the same thing, and probably more exciting and better, and I could learn from them, and maybe I could share with others. And if people aren't doing anything with young people, then I think they should, because I know the interest is there. It would be a help, for instance, for teachers and other youth leaders to have some background and, for instance, just some notes, for instance, of what you could do with a certain age group or interest and all. You know, I'd like to tell them what I did with the first grade brownie truth. It worked out really
What
very
did
happily.
You do? Can you explain for the tape, as for instance, that project perhaps?
Well, the truth leader wanted the girls to know the joy of quilting. So we quilted a pot holder. Now, in these children's classes, if you're going to do a hands-on project, it requires a great deal of preparation beforehand. So that the scout leader had prepared the three layers for the pot holder. She had the top, the batting, and the bottom, and had basted it together. She'd also marked the quilting line on the pot holder. So that when I came to the children, all I taught them was the quilting stitch, which was how to use the thimble. In the hour and a half that we worked with those first graders, I really felt that was a successful project. It really is heartwarming to see individuals react in a happy way to something like this. And when you're dealing with children, just as when you're dealing with adults, some are going to enjoy it more than others. Some are going to have more talent. But I had one tiny little girl in that class who said, "Oh, look, mine's puffy like hers is." And that's enough to make all your efforts worthwhile. She really had a lot of talent, and I hope that her mother will pursue this kind of thing for her. I even at one point said, "Well, my fingers are not as calloused as they usually are because I've been doing so much hand piecing." And she said, "What's hand piecing?" Well, again, you know, this is what makes me fall in love with this kind of project.
Can you describe something other than the potholder project that you may have done with another age group? Or
when the girls who I helped organize as teachers prepared for
This is tape 2, side 1, Joy Peterson interviewing Star Kaiser, JDP 15, April 24, 1984, for Kentucky Heritage Quilt Society. Star, you were telling us about a project with third and fourth graders, perhaps, as far as teaching young people how to quilt?
Yes, we designed a 12 by 18 piece that similar to the Amish center diamond, but in the center we had just a square, so you had three rows of three pieces of fabric. And the girls who were teachers cut the fabric and marked it ahead, so they gave each girl a kit. So that in this class, we were teaching hand piecing as well as quilting. Now, I think the girls basted the back and the batting and the top together for the girls as they finished the hand piecing, so that in the four session of this class, the girls were able to do everything but the binding, and they were given written directions for binding that little piece or the option that one of the teachers would do that for them if they so chose. And I think that worked out rather happily. They had very simple quilting designs, for instance, just X's on some parts of the little quilt.
before we leave the idea of you teaching children, youth, quilting, is there anything else you think of you'd like to share with us on that particular aspect of your life and your interest?
Well, just that I think one of the reasons I'm interested in children being involved in quilting in Kentucky now is the fact that children were making quilts in early Kentucky. My sense of history is very important to me in quilting. It gives us a great deal more pleasure, I think. It certainly does to me, an appreciation to know and see old Kentucky quilts and know the background of the maker and how life was different and how those quilts came to be. And in early Kentucky, a girl who was married at a very young age was making quilts when she was 8 years old. And I see that personally as an important part of this whole program.
How old were you when you first used a needle and started doing any sewing?
I embroidered a lot when I was a little girl. I was an only child, so I did a lot of singular kind of things. I was a great reader, and I can remember, you know, going to the dime store to get dish towels and embroider the designs on the dish towels. It was just kind of my summer fun. So, for a long time, I guess.
You have any quilt books?
Oh, just lots.
What are your favorites?
I think my favorite is still my very first one, which was the sampler quilt by Diana Lim. And I recommend that to children who I feel are really interested and are talented. I think, you know, even an 8-year-old could read and follow that book and make a quilt. I think it's unquestionably the simplest book. And I also think it's good. And I really think somebody could study that book and make a quilt. I did.
Do you have any quilt magazines?
I have Quilter's Newsletter, which I thoroughly enjoy. And in the past year, I subscribed to Quilt Maker, which I think is also a good magazine.
Do you take patterns from these magazines or books?
My most recent quilt top is just finished several weeks ago, was something that I saw in Quilt Maker this past fall issue.
Can you tell us about it? Do you have it here?
Yes, it's a scrap bag quilt, and at the time I was on a personal campaign to complete a lot of unfinished projects I had. And I had been working hard all last summer to complete things, and I did finish a lot of things I had in various stages of completion. But when this one Quilt Maker magazine came and I saw the picture of this one scrap bag quilt, I was just struck. I knew I had to make it. And I talked about my love of fabric. So I think the thing that's so special to me about this is that these were all fabrics that I already owned. I did not purchase any fabric for this quilt. Some are very new and I haven't even used. They're things I bought that because they were special colors or I love the fabric. And I feel honest about that too. All of these fabrics were part of my life before I decided to make this quilt. I think as far as I can decide, the oldest fabrics in the quilt are about 20 years old, which was when I started sewing for my little girl when she was little. So there's something in here from kindergarten era. I'm really excited about it. I look forward to quilting. I had a hard time with the little red border.
Can you describe the quilt for the tape?
The quilt is called Simple Pleasures in the Quilt Maker magazine. However, the
the Barbara Freisman Encyclopedia has the same pattern in it, and she calls it something different, and I don't remember exactly what that is right now. There is a 6-inch square, and the center, the main part of the square is unbleached muslin. The four corners, which are lopped off in a triangle pattern, are filled in with a dark print fabric. Then that square is latticed with a row of 3 2-inch squares. The top square is a light print, the middle square is a dark print, and the bottom square is a light print. And they're set, those strips of 3 squares are set next to the 6-inch square, so that when you look at the quilt top, you see alternating dark and light print. However, I think when you glance at the quilt, you're not really aware of that. And I've seen other scrapbag quilts in which this color experience is the same, and I never am aware at a glance that I'm dealing with dark and light fabrics. However, it's a pleasing effect, I think. And I started to mention before the border. There's a 2-inch border around this set, which is 8 squares wide and 10 squares long. And I thought when I had all these pieces together, it was almost the hardest part was fitting. And that really wasn't the hardest part. The hardest part was to find the right breadth for that 2-inch border. And I looked and looked and looked and was so upset that I couldn't find the color, but I eventually came onto this Amish red at theirs, and I'm pleased with it. I think it pulls all my fabrics together.
Could you describe some of the whimsical pieces of fabric?
Yes, I would love to. I guess every quilt maker loves to talk about her quilt. the kitten print was a fabric that my daughter had a dress of when she was in kindergarten. And I still have some of the scraps. I love the color combination. I think I cut it. Here it is again. Here it is again. I think I cut it somewhere where you do actually see a kitten's face. So I can't find it right now.
There's one there. A full kitten.
No, that's something more recent. I guess maybe I didn't have enough. Well, here we are. You can see the kitten's nose and the frog.
Mm-hmm.
Annie had a blouse when she was about 8 years old with this fruit print. That wasn't a very good fabric to deal with because it had a lot of polyester in it and it raveled. But it was important to me. I love that little blouse. We have pictures of a happy family coming to Cape Cod on the 4th of July, and Annie has that little blouse on. Let's see. The first piece of clothing I did was a vest for my youngest niece, who's incredibly preppy. It has pink and green in it. She loves it. So I did a vest for her, I think maybe on her 12th birthday. And she really did love it. And I was happy with it too. These are some of those prints that were in that. Here's the kitten with me doing on a butterfly. Then you mentioned the other little kitten. That was a fabric that I bought because it was on sale. And it was pretty soft colors, and I loved that. And I was just in the mood to quilt, not piece, but just to quilt one winter, and I just sandwiched that piece of fabric and quilted around the kitten. And it was fun. It satisfied my need right at that time to do a little quilting. And then my son, who's an engineer, was living in Northwest Kansas at the time in a town of 5,000, and not a really fun place for somebody young and unmarried. But he had some marvelous friends, a young couple, and their first baby was born that winter. So I said, Bobby, have you given know how I heard the baby did. And he said, no. I said, would you like to give him the kitten quilt? He said, oh, I would love to. So I embroidered her name, the little bit, the baby's name, and mine, of course, and the date on the back of the kitten quilt, and mailed it off to Kansas. And they're a really dear couple. When I met them and the baby about a year later, they said, you know, not only does the baby love the quilt, we do too. And it was, that was a happy part of my quilt life.
You got a raggedy Ann.
And now Annie Cusper had a raggedy Ann dress when she was, about first or second grade. I like to deal with fabrics that I found in the drapery department a lot, and especially when Annie was little, I found pretty prints that you wouldn't find other places. I think maybe the raggedy Ann was from curtain section of a dry goods store. And this fabric that you see here, which I think is one of the most successful in this kind of a quilt, is a fabric that I had bought and never really used, actually, to make Annie a dress. I have cut some of the cute, bright animals off it and applied it onto things. Again, it was something I bought, you know, in the curtain department. And I love the way those bright colors.
Is this hand pieced or machine
pieced? Oh, this is all hand pieced. And I began it when I was wanting some hand work. But then as that began to go together and I thought it was more and more exciting, I was sorry that I hadn't started it as a machine piece because I could have done it all faster. But then, you know, maybe that wouldn't have worked out either.
Would it spoil the integrity to you to go from one to the other, from sewing by hand to machine piecing on the same top?
No, it wouldn't, but I had marked these pieces on the sewing line and had just eyeballed the cutting line, so I would never have undertaken the change then to machine work because I wouldn't have had everything even. And I worked awfully hard to get all the corners.
That's very successful.
Thank you.
Star, what do you usually do with your finished quilts?
I don't really have a lot of finished quilts. I have given one away, but it was something that I started to give away with the purpose of giving it away to a friend. I have two small quilts that are finished that are just my quilts. I made them just for my own reasons, and I intend to save them. Maybe when we have grandchildren, they'll use them. I don't really know.
You have those there?
I have one, a 9-patch, that was in an exercise for me, and I'm really happy with it. When I talk to children, I usually always take some of my quilts. Everybody loves to see a quilt, and the children really love these. When we're dealing with squares, which is what this 9-patch is, this is just an example of putting squares together. And also, the border shell is, I think, a good example of what a quilting pattern does. And it's fun for me to take the unfinished pieces to share with children in a class, too, because they see the difference of something quilted and not quilted and realize the importance of the quilting stitch.
Would you describe that 9-patch?
I call it 20th century 9-patch. It's made of lily fabric, which is the important statement. When I was working on the Kentucky Quilt Project, Pat Scovel and I were talking about the random use of fabric as well as color in some of the old utility quilts and how charming that is and how we're so disciplined now that we don't let ourselves do that. We go to the fabric shop and we choose just the right fabric and just the right different gauge of everything is highly structured in our choice of fabrics for a quilt, and that was not the case in old quilts. So one wintry day, I thought, well, I'll go to the basement and get out that little bag of lily scraps that I bought at a shop and see what I can do with those. Well, they weren't a good buy because they were strange shapes and there weren't enough colors big enough that you could do very much with, but I did find these three pastels that are somewhat similar, a pink, a blue, a yellow, and I cut as many squares as I could from them. Then I set them together in an unordered manner in a nine pack, and I found it was very difficult to put those squares together and not, for instance, make the pink squares make their own line. There is no design in that nine pack, and that was I first called this a counter study in counter discipline. So this was a counter discipline for me.
The counter what?
Discipline. It was very difficult to put the squares together and not form some kind of pattern.
How would you describe Lily? Spell it, and then would you explain for the tape what you mean?
I say Lily. It's a Lily Pulitzer fabric. One of the reasons I use this also is, again, reflecting on history. I think this Lily Pulitzer fabric is going to certainly be one of the typical fabrics of this half century.
Will you spell it?
Well, they're advertised. This is Lily print, L-I-L-Y. Lily Pulitzer is the woman who lives in Palm Beach and designed these fabrics. I have a white here, which is a white on white, and on each of my pastels, there's a white print on the fabric. So there's a kind of a loudness there just in the fabric. It's unusual, not like anything before or after. And I really think it's representative of this century and past century. Also, design-wise, I've tied the quilt, which is an ancient technique, but I've tied it with tiny mineral ribbon, which I think is, again, typical of the 1980s. So, and my quilting pattern is cable, so I think, you know, that's as traditional as you can.
Would it be fair to describe the fabric as kind of frosted white?
It is
on
almost,
white?
And it's very difficult to quilt on because the white print on the fabric is almost like a paint, which led me to tying it rather than quilting it. It's almost impossible to get the needle through. But interesting enough, I just couldn't bear just tying it. It just wasn't enough, so I did quilt in stitch around the square. So it's not all that marvelously done, but it does look better than it did before I had done it.
Would you have considered quilting it on the sewing machine?
I don't think so. That really doesn't appeal to me.
Looks beautiful. Now, the yellow is not Lily.
No, no.
The border.
No. The yellow is just a 100% cotton. Fabric.
The lily also is 100% cotton, you think?
No, I'm
you
sure
think it's
polyester in it. Yeah, actually, I bought two pieces of a white-on-white when I was at the same shop just because I thought it was a fascinating fabric, and I have made a jacket for my mother-in-law of this white-on-white print, and I quilted the design that appears around the collar and on the cuffs of the jacket and around and down the front and around the side of that jacket. I gave that to her for a gift a couple of years ago. And that worked out very well because the needle does not want to go on to the white print and it's easy to stitch around
mm-hmm.
easy.
Yeah,
and
right.
That was easy to do.
Beautiful.
Thank you. Well, I really think that's an interesting. Again, this is a fabric not found in a quilt shop. I think it's important to look for fabric in other places.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever sold a quilt?
I've never sold a quilt, but I've sold some quilted beds.
Can you put a monetary value on quilts?
Well, almost impossible. It's like selling part of your soul.
What do you think they should cost?
I think they shouldn't be cheap because there is so much time and effort involved in a quilt. I've told some of my friends who've asked, I think $500 is a fair price to talk about in an average size well-made quilt.
What do you consider is valid to do with old quilts when they begin to wear out?
Well, certainly not to cut them up. We have a 30s quilt on a bed in this house that has some worn pieces of fabric, and I've been restoring that. I've used a contemporary fabric first that really shows up a lot, and I'm sorry that I did. I should have at least bleached it out a little bit first, but since I have found an old fabric, and I'm going to cut the rest of the pieces out of the old fabric to redo that.
Have you ever entered a quilt in a show, contest, fair?
I made a baby quilt for a contest about a year and a half ago that was in a contest. Was not a winner, but it was in a contest.
Mm-hmm. An American Accent?
Yeah.
Would you loan a quilt to a show or a museum?
I would do that with a great deal of thought and consideration.
Why would you hesitate to loan one?
I want to know how it was cared for and how it was handled.
In your opinion, has there been any change in people's attitudes about quilting?
Well, I think people are beginning to think of quilts as an art form more than they used to, for instance, 10 years ago.
What is the significance of quilting in your life?
Well, it's become terribly important to me. It's a joy of creating something, and I think it's even caused me to know more about myself.
What are your favorite colors to use in a quilt?
Well, I like red. I'm having a hard time with my Ronald McDonald quilt because I can't use red. I think the colors I have to deal with are so boring. I've had fun with all kinds of colors. I think it's fun to deal with black. It's kind of scary because it's very dramatic, but I've had fun with that. I guess I have some quilts that don't have red. Baby quilts, both my baby quilts, I guess, are pastel. But they're old, deep kind of tones. I'm not a baby blue, baby pink person.
What fabrics do you use?
I've used all kinds of fabrics, actually. 100% cotton certainly is best, but I've even played with a piece of gold lame. You know, nothing's safe from my hand if it calls itself fabric.
How much of a particular fabric do you usually purchase?
Well, it depends on the fabric. If I think it's the fabric that would maybe be used as a border, then I'd best have 2.5-3 yards. Half yard if I'm not sure what I would do with it, but I just think it's marvelous and would probably work itself into my palette of fabric, so I would buy half yard.
Do you have much inventory of fabrics on hand?
Oh, yes.
What size needle do you use for piecing?
I've been using my number 10s. I began using them for quilting and found that I really thought they improved my quilting a great deal. And so they were so comfortable to me, I've also used those with my hand piecing, and I like them really very much.
Do you use a different size needle for appliquing?
No, I haven't. I've used that same 10.
What kind of thread do you use for either piecing or quilting?
Cotton, preferably cotton, and I use quilting thread for piecing. I think it's important for my hand piecing to have the strength that quilting thread will give me.
What kind of batting do you use?
I've been using Mountain Mist, the polyester.
Do you have any trouble with migration?
I have on one of my vests, and I'm not really sure why. It was something machine piece but hand quilted, and it doesn't get a lot of hardware.
Are the fabrics dark in color?
Some of the fabrics are, but more are light.
So often we're aware of the migration
mm-hmm.
against the dark fabric.
Mm-hmm.
What about floor frame and hoop and quilting in your lap? What's your feeling on it?
Well, I don't own a floor frame, but for one reason, I really don't feel like I have a place in the house. I've ordered one, though. I thought try to put it up in a spare bedroom and hope that there's enough light there. So I've been using a small hoop. I began with a larger oval hoop and really couldn't handle it at all. So for a while I did lap quilting, but I really pushed myself to work with a hoop because I think it's better in the long run. So I went to a smaller hoop and I'm more successful.
18 inch, 14 inch?
I think my hoop may be 18 inch.
How have the materials used in quilting changed?
Well, I really think most people who are quilting now are buying fabrics just for that quilt, and probably so many of the older quilts were fabrics that were on hand.
Do you expect much change in the future?
Probably. I think quilting's become so popular that the wholesalers are beginning to realize what a market is there and are doing a better job for us of supplies, of fabric, and all the equipment in general.
Do you wash your quilt?
Yes.
How?
Well, with Woolite or Ensure, which is a liquid detergent, I guess. Or I'm not sure if it's a detergent or a soap, actually. In the washing machine on a gentle cycle, and then I hang them to dry.
You attend auctions or flea markets, et cetera, with the idea of trying to purchase quilts?
No, I haven't.
What older quilts do you own?
Only a dress.
This is tape 2, side 2, JDP 15, Joy Peterson interviewing Star Kaiser, April 24th, 1984. Star, we were talking about any older quilts that you might own.
Oh, I have, say, just this Dresden plate quilt that is on Ann Kaiser's bed. And when she got the canopy bed that she wanted when she was a little girl, she said she wanted a piece quilt. And I know it's because her friend had a piece quilt on her bed. So my mother-in-law said, well, I have a quilt that I bought a long time ago at the Middletown Christian Church
for $25 when I first moved to Anchorage, and I'm just using it as a blanket type covering on one of the beds so you can have it. And Anne has really enjoyed that quilt. So I had that, and I had several of my mother's applique quilts, but I've given them to the children. I thought they should have something when they were away at school that looked like somebody cared about them. So they, and they've used them and really had enjoyed them.
What can you tell me about quilters in your family that we've not already discussed?
Well, my mother made those quilts. She made several baby quilts from kits too when our children were born. And my one aunt has done some quilts for her grandchildren as well. But other than that, nobody else in the family has really been serious about their quilting.
I had some notes here as we complete our interview that I thought maybe we'd go back over just to be sure we covered them. I don't think you really described your Nancy Helprin block. Is there anything you could describe to us about what you're trying to do as far as the, is it a particular pattern that you've evolved?
There are my shapes. I want to represent the horizon, a river horizon, for instance. And I'm happy with the way my shapes do that. I have one shape that's somewhat vertical, which to me represents the hills or the rock wall of the river valley. And the other shapes that flow into that could either be a river or could be the mountains or could be the hills. And I'm happy with the generalized kind of impression that block gives us. To me, it's the same kind of feeling that a Paul Sawyer watercolor gives. Now, how I'm going to put several of those blocks together is the next trick.
Well, one thing we haven't hit on that I made a note of because of something you said before we turned the tape on, we haven't mentioned the fact that boating is a part of your life, and you talk about Paul Sawyer and rivers, and I think we ought to get in here. Just what is it in your life that, what kind of boat do you have, or how much experience, what is boating to you?
Well, it's a very serious part of our life. We're boaters. Spring, summer, fall, we just take winter off because we have to. The river's so bad, and well, we couldn't enjoy being on the boat. It's really important to my husband. He needs it, you know, for a relaxation, and he gives a lot of energy to it. He's been very active in the United States Power Squadron, which is his sort of hobby kind of activity. And he teaches classes in safe boating and goes to meetings within our district, which is part of Ohio, Indiana, throughout the state of Kentucky. And we've also been to some national meetings. We have a wonderful set of friends just through our boating experience.
What kind of boat is it?
We have a cruiser. I met my husband boating, and we've always had a boat. This is now the fifth different boat we've owned. Our children grew up boating, and I think it was a good way to grow up. They had lots of disciplines through that experience that they would not have otherwise had.
Is it always on the Ohio River?
Yes, we've always kept our boat here in Louisville and used it on the Ohio River, though we do make trips. We've made a number of trips. Our longest trip has been from Louisville to Kentucky Lake, which is all the Ohio River. We've been up the Kentucky River a number of times, and that's really our pet trip. It's really beautiful scenery, and I really feel that I'm in the heart of Kentucky when I'm on the Kentucky River.
Another thing you said briefly in passing, and I don't know if I picked up, I don't know if it's something you want to pick up on or not, was antiquing. Do you go antiquing, or did you say
No.
your mother-in-law or someone did?
that isn't part of your experience.
No.
And another thing you mentioned was Anchorage Children's Theater. What part of your life is that, or has it been?
It's been a big part of my life, and I gave a lot of time and energy to it for 10 years. I was on the board of directors, and I was costume chairman. During that time, we had a very active theater group. We even eventually made a movie that the local public television channel filmed. It was an in thing for the young people in Anchorage during that time to participate. So at one time, I had a cast of 73 children to costume, which meant calling on a lot of people to help. Of course, there are always budgetary problems in something like a community theater, and indeed we had ours, but we saw our way through that by asking people in the community for donations, and we had one show done in old sheets that we had dyed. We got a lot of mileage out of old slip covers and old draperies, and again, I dyed a lot of those things, and that's all been, I think, a very important part of my relationship to fabric.
Do you have future projects that we haven't mentioned that you'd like to mention?
Oh, yes. There are always lots of things going. I'd like to do something with the geometric kind of reflection in it that I haven't really done yet. And I'd like to finish all these things that are unfinished and work a little more on drafting my own either patterns or sets of patterns, actually.
Well, I really appreciate the time you've given to us, and I think we will conclude the interview, but at the same time, perhaps leave the recorder on a little longer while we're photographing these quilts that are right here in case there's any data that we want to include. But if there's anything further that you would like to have on the interview that I haven't touched on, I wish you'd add it here.
Well, I think not. I enjoyed it very much, and I thank you so much.
It's certainly our pleasure. Let's get some of these pictures then. I can't have that light behind you, so we'll have to come over this way.
Okay.
Now, this one is the one with the lily fabric.
Right.
Isn't it? Okay.
The random nine patch.
The random nine patch, right.
And I was almost in a terrible spot with this. Because of my bad habit of starting something and not finishing it right away, I was a half inch short on the yellow fabric for bias binding.
Oh, really?
And it wasn't one of those situations where I could make do. I didn't want to bind it in some other fabric.
Yeah.
And fortunately, when I went to the shop where I had bought the yellow fabric, the owner of the shop said, "No, I've sold all that, but I have a few scraps of it myself at home." And I thought it was just divine intervention. Really made me happy.
Let's get a picture of this. What's this now? Simple Pleasures?
This is Simple Pleasures.
Okay.
No.
I'm glad to get that, but at the same time, I didn't get hardly any red, so we need to get some of this border. You know, having it that high, I wasn't
sure.
I think that's a better idea. Yeah, now I can get some of it. I wanted some of that red, because I think that this was really a problem for you, and you've solved it well.
That red is a super color. I need to pull everything together.
Uh-huh.
And I think it needed the solid color as well.
prints there.
Well, it's number 32. I ought to be able to finish these off, and that way I can send it off right away and get it back.
Yeah.
All my Mary Lucas films came out wrong because I had the wrong ASA setting for using flash. I had a 400 pushed to 800. So I have to redo her at the Hamilton House meeting. She's going to have a one-woman show.
Oh, well, that's great.
Yeah, it's a real handy thing.
Mary is a good worker. She gets things done.
Uh-huh. Oh, this is beautiful. Now, this is your Drunkard's Path, and you call it Love?
The Love Ring Set. Of
Love Ring Set.
Uh-huh. And when people say, oh, I don't like Drunkard's Path because it's so askew, you know, so such a wobbly line, well, it doesn't have to be the case. I think this is a very ordered
kind of set.
Yeah.
The reason I'm kind of pushing is that I've had a root canal and I have to go to about 1:15 appointment. You know, being here a half hour late is really ruining me. Oh,
I didn't mention the Celtic work. We never talked about Celtic. And I felt guilty that I was talking too long, and that's another story. I don't know that it's really all that interesting, but something that I hadn't done a lot of recently. It's just one technique. Again, it's a sense of history that made me become involved with it.
And you hold up a little higher.
Mm-hmm. And I think here you can see, too, my love affair. It's a reflection of my love of fabric. It was great fun for me to put these fabrics together.
We don't have much left. I've got another roll of film, but
I would really like, for that to be involved, because that's important, because it's my friendship quilt done by my friends from the Tuesday Girls. It's the same fabric.
I didn't mention that when we were talking. I'm glad we still got the tape on so I can put it in.
These are the same fabrics that are in my husband's Drunkard's Path quilt. And when it was my time to choose my quilt for a friendship quilt from that group, I thought, you know, what else but a star sampler since that's been
made. Hold it up just a little higher.
And I mean for this, I thought I meant for this to be my boat quilt. But I think maybe it's too nice. I'm afraid somebody might get mud on it or not really take good enough care of it by chance. So I don't know if it'll make its way to the boat for my boat quilt or not. But at any rate, this is the companion quilt to the quilt I made for my husband. It's my quilt made for me by my friend.
And in each one of those patches, of which there are how many patches?
I think there are 16. I made the three of the corner ones because I needed that many to fill out my square.
Each one's made by a different friend.
There are 20, I guess, aren't they?
Yeah.
There. And one girl did this Mexican star that was kind of not in the same mood as the others, and Pat Scoble said, well, that's so different anyway, why don't you use it for a corner, which I thought was a great idea.
Really?
And then I did the other three so that they all
How do you describe for the tape what your sashing is? What's that pattern?
I'm not remembering the name of that sashing. It was in the Marjorie Puckett's primarily patchwork, or perhaps her second book. It's in one of the Marjorie Puckett books.
Oh, that's great.
As a sashing, and it makes a star in itself.
Right.
When I looked at it on the page, I knew that was for me for this quilt. Since I have seen it in my Amish book, Amish Inspirations.
Oh, is it?
Called by a different name.
Yeah,
but
I'll have to look it up and I can put it in your interview.
What it is. It was a real job to get all that together and together, but I really feel like that sashing ties my
It's perfect.
Together.
And then there's orange around the
border,
and you
made the decision on the colors and told the
right.
women what fabric to, or handed
well,
the women the fabric.
I don't have a card out here, but I can show you the way I organized it. I pasted a swatch of each fabric on a shirt board and gave the people those and the white, which I said, use the white for the background, if there is to be a background in your square. I had a big, a wide choice of star patterns, but some people came up with their own anyway. And I made a record of what pattern each woman was going to use once she made the decision, so I wouldn't have two of the same. And I think they've just really done a beautiful job.
I hope someday you're going to have a quilt show of just Tuesday's girls quilts.
We are. We are.
I gathered that from
Willis
some of my other interview.
That her quilt was going to be worn out by the time
her bare patch.
The rest of us got ours finished.
Yeah.
It's going to take a long time. There are about four girls who haven't even started theirs yet. There's
I'd love to see Mary
so
Jewish.
So many of us. It's going to be a fascinating show if we ever get together
yeah.
because they're really different. One
it
girl
really
has
is.
An Amish basket on black. Some are dealing with old fabric. It really is going to be.
Well, Star, I'm going to turn off the tape.
Well,
anything
you.
More
no,
before I turn it?
I thank you very much.
Oh, yeah. It's our pleasure. We thank you.